800-936-9080. Clinical studies have shown more than a 10% drop in blood pressure for regular users of Zona Plus. Get yours today by calling 800-936-9080 or going online to orderzona.com. Listeners of this station will save $50 by using promo code USA2017. Reduce your blood pressure now the safe and drug-free way. 800-936-9080. Or order Zona.com and use promo code USA2017. That's 800-936-9080.
In San Bernardino, California, one of two students struck by gunfire in his elementary school classroom yesterday has died of his wounds.
Jonathan Martinez, tragically, he has passed away.
The police chief making the sad announcement last night, where he also says 53-year-old Cedric Anderson of Riverside entered the classroom at North Park Elementary and, without saying anything, opened fire. His target, his 53-year-old wife, who he shoots and kills, but little Jonathan Martinez was beside her at the time, as was another child who is still hospitalized. The gunman then took his own life. Alabama has a new governor in Kay Ivey. In her first remarks as governor, she said last evening, yesterday was both a dark day in Alabama history, but one of new opportunities.
I ask for your help as together we steady the ship of state and improve Alabama's image.
She succeeds Robert Bentley, who stepped down in a plea deal related to allegations he violated ethics and campaign finance laws. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
North Korea is protesting the U.S. deployment of an aircraft carrier and other warships near the Korean Peninsula. The North's foreign minister is saying that country will defend itself, quote, by a powerful force of arms. Leaders in North Korea adding they see the increase of ships and other warships as a preparation for an invasion. That U.S. Navy strike force was sent towards the Korean Peninsula after originally being headed to Singapore. The diversion was made following last week's intercontinental ballistic missile test by North Korea. Chicago police believe robbery may have been the motive early Monday morning when a Cook County, Illinois judge was shot and killed outside his home. Here's David Stewart.
Chicago Police Chief of Detectives Melissa Staples says Associate Judge Raymond Miles was shot multiple times after he confronted the man who'd already wounded the judge's woman companion. Staples says the woman told police that the gunman ignored her pleas not to shoot Miles, but fled after he did.
We do know that, based on the surviving victim's account, that he did flee on foot, and we are currently reviewing multiple video cameras, pods, and private video to ascertain if and what vehicle they used to flee.
Staples says it's unknown if the assailant was connected to any of the veteran judge's former cases.
And the CEO of United Airlines says in a letter that the passenger forcibly removed from a plane in Chicago was disruptive and belligerent. In a letter obtained by CNBC, Oscar Munoz claims the workers followed established procedures. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The time is 10:04. It's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it is 70 degrees. Clear skies, 10% chance of precipitation. Weather Underground says that today will be sunny. Highs in the mid-80s, southwest winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming cloudy with a slight chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the mid-50s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 20%. Cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny tomorrow. A 30% chance of showers. Not so warm with highs in the lower 70s. West winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. It'll be mostly sunny. Cooler with highs in the lower 60s. Northwest winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mostly sunny and highs in the lower 60s on Friday. Partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers, highs in the mid-60s on Saturday. Easter Sunday, partly sunny with a chance of thunderstorms. Warmer with highs in the mid-70s, chance of rain 40%. And on Monday, mostly sunny, a chance of showers in the morning. Highs in the upper 60s, chances of rain 30%. Temperatures in our area, right now it is 70 degrees in Raritan, 69 in White House, 71 in Hampton, 67 up in Washington, 71 in Phillipsburg, 69 down in Lambertville, and 67 over in Bucks County. Stay tuned for Tech Today right after these messages.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, welcome to Tech Today on 100ChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology in that consumers may be seeking solutions for personal or business use, can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I'll be covering topics about technology, could include news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. If you'd like to contact me during the show, you can go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can also email me at goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. The phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410, and to contact me outside of the show, go to my website, bluepantherbiz.com. Well, welcome back. It's April 11th, and pleasure to be with you as always. It's nothing in the news or nothing a day being celebrated here that has to do with technology, but hey, I'm coming to you through technology. With everything that's going on here at the studio, we are working towards not only improving the technology that I use to get to you through the airwaves, through the internet airwaves, by the way, on an oral basis, but also we're trying to get to you through a video basis as well. So we have cameras set up here that we'll eventually be using to stream to YouTube. Just need to get a couple of computers in here to get that all squared away. Lots of things to talk about, some big news. First one I think I'd like to cover is business news, and it has to do with Toshiba. And to be honest with you, I'm a bit surprised at what I'm reading here, in that Toshiba's announcement just recently says that it might not survive as a result of what it's dealing with regard to its...
What if technology gave us the power to turn this enemy
technology
into an ally?
Give that up. Microsoft and its partners. So CNNMoney.com reports that Toshiba warns it may not survive this crisis. Written by Charisse Fram on April 11th at about 8:26 this morning. She says, Toshiba may not survive its deepening crisis. The Japanese conglomerate said on Tuesday that there is a substantial doubt about its ability to continue as a going concern after it reported huge losses. Toshiba has been hammered by the collapse of its American nuclear business, Westinghouse Electric, which filed for bankruptcy protection in the U.S. last month. So after twice missing deadlines, Toshiba reported a net loss of $648 billion, which is $5.9 billion for the quarter, ended in December. But in an unprecedented move for a major Japanese company, Toshiba filed the report without the approval of its auditors. Japanese regulators must now decide whether to accept Toshiba's earnings report. If not, shares in the ailing company could be delisted from the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Here are where things stand. A refusal by auditor PwC Arata to give its seal of approval is another embarrassing blow for Toshiba as it tries to persuade investors that it can find a way out of its crisis. Westinghouse suffered billions of dollars in losses due to cost overruns and construction delays in nuclear plant projects in Georgia and South Carolina. The unit's bankruptcy means Toshiba will eventually be able to remove it from its accounts, but dumping Westinghouse could drag Toshiba to a net loss of 1 trillion yen or $9 billion for the fiscal year that ended March. PwC refuses to sign off on the earnings report because it is still studying the results. Investigations into Westinghouse's takeover of nuclear construction company CB&I Stone and Webster in 2015, Toshiba said on Tuesday. But the company says that it has no reason to believe the losses tied to Westinghouse will have a financial impact beyond fiscal year 2016. Toshiba CEO Satoshi Tonokawa said, sorry, we're just trying to get the trying to do things one-handed here, and we're not doing very well. That it considers the investigation to be over. Regulators in Japan will have to decide if the disarray means Toshiba, one of the country's biggest known multinational corporations, could suffer the humiliation of having its shares taken off the exchange. So, what does this all mean? Well, certainly it means you have to be very cautious about your purchases that have the Toshiba brand. I, for years, have made recommendations to personal users of computers to purchase Toshiba satellite laptops. they've worked very well in the past and always have. But be advised that if you could get a great bargain on a Toshiba laptop, but you might not have support for it. So you're going to have to make sure you have that covered somehow. So the savings that you could get by purchasing a Toshiba laptop, you're going to have to make up for in somehow being able to manage it and maintain it if somehow, some way, Toshiba is not around. Now, for many people, that's not an issue. For many people, laptops and even regular personal computers have become a do-it-yourself possibility. Many of the components are cookie cutter now. They're all done, built in a standard. Things are installed in a standard manner, and so it's easy to get knockoff or third party products that accessories that can connect to a particular laptop and be able to maintain it and upgrade it. So it might be a great opportunity. Same thing with TVs. Pretty much once you buy a TV, you purchased it for its duration. You're rarely going to repair it. But, you know, you have to think about the fact that if it is defective, that you don't have any real way of getting around it. So purchasing right now might be the thing to do, and hopefully it wouldn't have an issue over the next 60 to 90 days, which is typically when any electronics show their signs of flaws. The rest of the time, it's just wear and tear. So to try and repair the balance sheet, Toshiba is now selling a majority stake in its prized computer chip business. Sonakawa said he expects the unit to fetch at least 2 trillion yen, or 18 billion. Taiwan-based Foxconn, one of Apple's biggest suppliers, has offered as much as 3 trillion yen, according to the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg. Toshiba declined to comment on the reports, and Foxconn didn't respond to the requests or comment. But the Japanese government is keen to keep the memory chip business in the country, according to local media, and has called on Japanese companies to club together to buy a stake. Toshiba said Tuesday that the sale of the chip business and the other assets could enable it to stay financially sound. But what happened to Westinghouse? Well, a bankruptcy filing has raised questions about what will happen to the storied U.S. company. Toshiba's majority stake in Westinghouse will be sold. That will happen under the supervision of the bankruptcy court and will not be involved in that, Sakanawa told reporters last month. The sale price could fuel concerns in the U.S. government, which reportedly wants to ensure domestic nuclear capabilities don't end up being bought by a Chinese firm. Westinghouse is already building reactors in China. Buying the struggling American company could provide China with technology it needs to become a leading player in nuclear power. So there's the fallout. Right now it's a financial crisis. They'll probably work out the details. Things are being bought and sold to try and work it out. And even countries are now getting involved because of trying to keep certain industries in-house within the borders. So we'll see what happens. But as I said in the middle of the article, it's up to you to decide whether you want to take advantage of perhaps a buying opportunity for electronics when it comes to Toshiba, for laptops and or TVs. There's even some phone systems out there that I've become aware of. I don't know if they're still purchased at this point, but certainly something to consider. Anyway, that's the fallout for that. It is 15 after 10, and we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HuntingChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Chris Bianco here from Blue Panther Business Partners. Well, let's see. We talked last week about the new Galaxy S8 that came out, and the S8 Plus. Well, now the corresponding next consequence of events is to start making buying decisions, comparisons, as to what people would like with regard to the S8 and whether it makes sense to purchase that compared to other options. And we know who those other options are. So here it is, Yahoo Tech Galaxy S8 versus iPhone 7 Plus speed test. It's not even close, so says Zach Epstein on the 10th. So let's find out what he's talking about. Last week, we showed you one of the first real-world speed test videos to pit the new Galaxy S8 against the reigning speed champion Apple's iPhone 7 Plus. Unfortunately, we also explained why it was one of the worst speed test videos we had ever seen. None of these YouTube speed test videos are scientific, of course, but some tests are far more controlled than others. In this particular test, the narrator just tapped a bunch of apps and tried to eyeball which one opened faster each time. We will still waiting for some of more experienced YouTube gadget vloggers to share their speed test results, and now we have a much better test to share. And to be quite frank, the results are shocking. So here we go. Each year, when a new flagship Android phones are released, tech fans scratch their heads as they fail to best Apple's iPhones. On paper, iPhones have much less impressive specs, and yet Apple always manages to deliver the smoothest possible user experience time and time again. This year, Samsung's new Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus completely crush Apple's iPhone and iPhone 7 Plus in terms of multi-core benchmark tests. Though they still lagged behind Apple in single-core tests, in theory, that should mean Samsung's new phones might be slower than iPhones at simple tasks. But new Galaxy S8 phones should be clear leaders when it comes to heavy lifting the launching games and rendering 4K video. According to the results of a new real-world speed test from the YouTuber Everything Apple Pro, that's not the case at all. The speed test video below shows the Galaxy S8 pitted against the iPhone 7 Plus in a number of different ways. While the competition is close at times, it's not close at all in the long run. The most interesting parts of the video show that Apple's iPhone 7 Plus is much faster than the Galaxy S8 when it comes to things like rendering 4K video and launching graphics-heavy games. Anyone who had seen earlier multi-core benchmark tests would certainly have expected the opposite to be the case. So it looks like Google Pixel 2 will have, well, these are other trends that they're going on. So the video, I guess, is talking about the fact that the iPhone still possesses a better speed. Now, I'm not going to poo-poo that. If that's the case, that's the case. Speed is important, no doubt about it. There are times when you realize that at some point, but you don't realize that initially on a new phone. When you purchase a new phone, typically the hardware and the electronics have exceeded what the norm is today. And so you're naturally, everything is fast. And the difference between one versus the other is hardly something you can experientially predict or even really put your finger on. It's when things start to get older and when the world catches up to the new capabilities of the new phones. That's when you're going to start to see it. Now, you know, let's be fair. You know, a split second, a tenth of a second, or a twentieth of a second, is not going to be anything that you're going to struggle with. Your world is not going to crumble because you gained or lost a twentieth of a second. But as you start to put more and more taxes on these particular items, you are going to start to experience some type of slowness. But that is all dependent upon the user of the phone. You know, for some people that I know, they use the basic phone features. They don't add anything to it. For other people, like myself, I have, I don't know, 300 or so apps on my phone. And I'm putting some stress on it. There are days when it's not working to the best of its ability, and I have to monkey around to make it work better, or remove certain things, or clear up the cache, or move certain ones to my micro SD instead. So it's hard to predict what exactly the real speed test versus the user speed test is all about. But here's the thing that goes with me and my purchasing decisions. The first one is that I need a phone that has a removable memory card, removable storage. Many of the iPhones do not have that. I need a phone that has the ability for me to change out the battery. Many of the iPhones don't have that. And so those two things, coupled with the features that both the phones possess, makes the Samsungs and the Google Pixels the choices that I go for. Now, for those of you who like the experience and the simplicity and the predictiveness of iPhone, then that fits great for you, and congratulations. That is exactly what you need and what you want, because that's going to make you happy. For somebody like myself, I want to have the latest and greatest apps that are coming my way, and I want a platform that can get those apps to me. And having a larger pool of app developers competing against one another is more important to me, because an app today might not be the best app for that same feature tomorrow. And so in a few years or a few months, there might be a new app that I might swap to perform the same function that I've been looking for. I like that And that's why I've always been a Windows person, and that's why I've always been an Android person. For those of you who like predictability and don't want to monkey with the phone and don't want it to break and don't want things to conflict and don't want finger pointing, the iPhone and the Apple products are for you, because you're getting the features that you want. You're downloading them once, you're upgrading them occasionally, and then you can count on the fact that they're going to work day in and day out. And that's great. That's fine. So the speed test doesn't necessarily make or break the decision of whether you should or shouldn't purchase a Galaxy S8 versus an iPhone 7. It should be one of the things that you consider, but there's so many larger things, in my opinion, that make that decision harder or easier, depending on how you look at it. So make sure that you go through the features of each of the phones, compare them side by side, and make sure that you're getting what you're looking for. Because that's all what's all about, right? Is that we're simply meeting a niche of certain behaviors and certain characteristics and certain tastes. And we're not going to make all Apple people like Samsung, and we're not going to make all Samsung people like Apple. So those two products are going to live as long as we need smartphones and the smartphones that we have today. And they'll be continuing to live and grow with those user bases. But there's clearly a dichotomy. There's clearly a diversification and a split between those two products and what they represent. So there you have it. Speed test iPhone still continues. But, you know, like I said, it's not the only thing that you need to consider when purchasing a smartphone. Moving on from there, let's see what else is happening out there that we might want to consider. Some focus on some new products, actually new uses of products, just to give you some insight into how the world is continuing to evolve with the advent of virtual reality. So, an article here by Engadget, written by Nick Summers 2 days ago in Design. He says, I still can't figure it out. Inside the warehouse, I press against the railing, squinting through the darkness to get a better look at the ghost train. A Victorian carriage hangs from the ceiling, suspended by iron chains. Step inside, however, and it's a modern London tube car caught up in an outbreak that threatens to turn everyone into monsters. You put on a VR headset, contextualized as a life-saving gas mask, and prepare for the worst as the train disembarks. After a brief creepy stint in VR, you're asked to exit the train on what appears to be a modern subway station. The original warehouse, the chains, it's all gone. I've heard rumors about the train and how it's able to, quote, move, unquote, through space, but even with the information, I can't see how it all works. I press harder against the barrier, bamboozled. I'm lining up for The Rise of the Demon, a revamped version of the ghost train that opened last summer. It's based at Thorpe Park, a haven for British thrill seekers, and was designed under the guidance of Darren Brown, a showman and master of psychological manipulation. All told, it's one of the most ambitious VR projects I've ever seen, blending the HTC Vive with immersion theater and intricate ride engineering. The original Ghost Train had some problems, however. It offered two separate VR experiences, the second of which was a fun but corny CG fest, that fell out of place with the rest of the ride. With so many different parts, both mechanical and human, it also had a tendency to break down. The headsets would die or not show the VR sections properly, and audio problems would drain the warehouse of its intended atmosphere. Merlin Entertainment, the owner of Thorpe Park, and Figment Productions, a company specializing in audiovisual attractions, decided to go back and refresh the ride. Result is an attraction that the team promises will be more intense and terrifying than before. If there's anything that I learned from the experience last year, it's how when people hear the words virtual reality, They expect it to be reality. Simon Beverly, chief executive of Figment, said, "They expect it to feel completely real." Before the second VR portion showed a group of spider-like demons shredding the train car to shreds. They could see the world outside, a ruinous city destroyed by society's greed for natural resources. It felt like the train head was rocking back and forth, buffeted by your pursuers, until finally the train fell into a crack in the earth, ending the ride to a pit of lethal lava. In the original, we had a massive whiz-bang ending with Hollywood effects going on, Reverly explains. This was by design. However, Brown had wanted something that was spooky, but still enjoyable for everyone. One of the things that I remember about working with Darren on the first version was that he wanted to build this world, Reverly said, but he also kept using the word that surprised me a little bit, which was fun. He wanted it to be fun for people, and I think that's what the original experience was. Now, well, we've had some of that fun, and now we want to go darker. I won't spoil what happens in the new version at the end, Brown asks you to keep the ride's intricacies a secret. I will say, however, it's smaller, more atmospheric scene, one that builds tension by showing other survivors and their reactions to the monster. You achieve this level of terror, Figment threw out what he had before and created a new sequence from scratch. The team used a combination of 360-degree video shot inside the train car with a Nokia Ozo camera and a LiDAR scan, a radar-like technology that creates a 3D picture or mesh of the surrounding area as a basis for visual effects. Switching from a CG animated cutscene to a spherical movie was a gutsy move. The two formats are vastly different and come with unique trade-offs. A video game environment might be less believable, but it's easier to tweak and allows the user to move around quite freely. A 360-degree video is, of course, more realistic, but forces the viewer to stand or sit in a single spot where the camera and tripod was originally set up. On the Ghost Train, that limitation isn't a problem, however. That's because the ride is built around a train car, which by design encourages you to sit down with your fellow passengers. The VR headset is attached by various cables to the wall, so you're unable to stand up or slide around in a way that would break the experience. It's one of the restrictions that really helps us, Reverly said. If we were in a free-roaming environment, a walk-through VR experience, that would be infinitely harder. That's because in a train, it gives us the freedom to mix pure stereo 360 video elements with traditional visual effects and post-production work. Last year, such a film would have been tricky to produce because the ride and the VR shots were becoming developed in parallel. Now, of course, the Ghost Train is a permanent fixture in the park, and it was easier for the team to see how it could be altered and manipulated. The updated VR experience was shot over a cold December and January. Colin Arnold, head of the film and video Figment Productions, said it was a relatively quick shoot, albeit one that required some creativity, directional techniques. When you're making a spherical film, the crew and the director have to always be out of shot. To speed up the process, all of the actors had an earpiece, and Arnold had able to give them pointers by looking for a live preview stream through the camera. That monitoring setup meant Brown and the team of Merlin Magic Making would also review Figment's efforts remotely and check out a look through a VR headset. So the idea of the shoot came in part from reviewing the original ride at the Thorpe Park. In their operation room, Reverly said the team of Figment were struck by how people were reacting to the VR segments. The shrieks and squeals combined with their body language added to the terror and chaos associated with the ride. The problem was that people could hear but not see these responses while they were wearing the VR headsets. We wanted that to be an influence on the update. So rather than try to take people to a world away from what was really happening around them, we thought it would be fun to explore what was already happening around them, which is people freaking out, basically. For the most part, it works, of course. The actors in the film, who are all wearing headsets too, aren't the same people who will be boarding the train with you in the real life. That mismatch was inevitable, but it does detract from the experience a little bit. Reverly hopes the chaos of the theater segment, which sits in the middle of the two VR sequences, will be enough to disorient people as they board the train. When you get into the train, you're running, he says. You're in a bit of a panic, you're in a big group, and will naturally get mixed up. So you're going to sit with people you don't know. You might have a friend with you or whatever, but you're not going to be a train full of people you know. It's not hard to tell the difference, but like all amusement rides, movies, and video games, the ghost train requires a small suspension of disbelief, a willingness to participate in what is ultimately a piece of fiction. So it's interesting that now we're going to make rides and use VR technology as part of it. And so it'll be interesting to see how VR evolves. In this particular case, you're being hoodwinked into believing that the people sitting next to you are the people in your video. As it turns out, those people in the video are staged actors and part of the film. It'll be interesting to see if somehow you can blend the two in the future. And it won't take long. They'll be able to do something like that. We'll be able to see the people surrounding you and have them as part of the VR experience. They'll probably use a camera from the phone and blend that stream in with the rest of the movie and get an overlay in some manner, shape, or form. It's 10:41, and I wanted to do another article here to talk about where we are with the thought of 3D printing. Just to give you an idea of how direct and how disparate things are getting from technology. So Future Tense, CNN Tech, reports that Adidas unveils a new 3D printed shoe by Kaya Yerlef, April 7th. Kyla reports that Adidas just debuted its newest shoe, which has a 3D printed sole. The German company said 5,000 of the Futurecraft 4D shoes will be available at retail stores in the fall and winter. It plans to start mass producing them next year and expects to have made more than 100,000 pairs by the end of 2018. The company would not disclose where the shoes will be manufactured. Adidas partnered with Silicon Valley-based startup Carbon to create the shoe, which uses a new technology called digital light synthesis. 3D printed materials are often rigid or malleable and wouldn't work well with a shoe, but with Carbon's technology, the material is springy and able to bounce back almost instantaneously. The technology works by using UV lasers to project a pattern for a midsole liquid. The light turns the liquid into a solid, and the result is a flexible but durable midsole. The technology could save time and money in the production process and will allow for greater customization. Quote, we can produce up to 100 times faster than other 3D printing and additive manufacturing processes, an Adidas spokesman told CNN Tech. So let's stop for a minute. An additive process, additive manufacturing, is what you've seen in the past when you've seen a 3D printer, where it starts with a base foundation and it continues to add more and more plastic on top of itself to create the three-dimensional print. In that particular case, it has to go around and around and around with multiple plastic jets or latex jets. But in this particular case, using this laser technology and hardening the midsole, it seems that you get a quicker process, and therefore the product can be developed and finished quicker. That's obviously important for Adidas. Eventually, Adidas plans to use the technology to customize shoes for individual consumers. In the long run, we will be able to provide each athlete with bespoke performance products before tailored to their individual physiological data and needs on demand, the spokesperson said. So there you have it. You'll be able to, right now they're just using a standard template based on, I guess, the size, and that's about it. It's going to have these certain features. But all of a sudden now you can import the data that now makes changes to those specifications. You simply tell the lasers to do something a little bit different, and all of a sudden you have a customized midsole for that particular product. Fascinating. We've only scratched the surface, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to continue to get more and more rapid development in both VR and in 3D printing, and it'll become commonplace. Right now, we're just talking about the historical moments as one event oversteps and leaps over the next one. But soon it'll be commonplace, and it'll just be something that we naturally do home and in the office. And so buckle up. It's 10:44. It's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Tech Today on 100ChamberRadio.com.
When I called the IRS on April 1st, they told me that my Social Security number had already been used to file a 2015 tax return, and it was dated March 10th.
That's Corey Bussing.
Corey Bussing. And I work for Prime Therapeutics.
He did not file a tax return upon doing it, but after pretending to be
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Password fatigue. We all have it, especially after the latest breach of Yahoo.
All right, welcome back to Tech Today on HunterdonChamber.com. I don't know what the video continues to show up on some of these articles, and so it's bleeding into my broadcast here. But let's see. We got a couple more minutes. We got a couple of things to still go over. First one is FCC chair comes out against phone calls on airplanes. Written by Selena Larson on April 10th. Selena says that making phone calls from airplanes might not be cleared for landing. On Monday, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai said he wants to halt the proposal that would have allowed cell phone calls in airborne planes. Quote, I stand with airline pilots, flight attendants, and America's flying public against the FCC's ill-conceived 2013 plan to allow people to make cell phone calls on planes, Pai said in a statement. Currently, federal rules prohibit people from making calls while flying. In 2013, former FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler proposed relaxing those rules to let airlines and transportation officials decide whether to allow phone calls and mobile services. The public, including the airline industry, was invited to comment on the proposal. At the time, it was a divisive issue, spurring a number of columns and tweets about whether people should be allowed to talk in their phones while flying. According to the FCC, the public overwhelmingly did not support the proposal. The FCC will vote on the proposal, but the timing has not been disclosed yet. Pai's comments on Monday pertain only to phone calls over cellular networks. In December, the Department of Transportation proposed a rule that would require airlines to let passengers know if their flight supported Wi-Fi calling on board. So I'm still lost because at no time do I ever read or hear or see where the actual signal has any effect on a plane. I can't believe that we would be up on a plane and there would be a person or persons that would forget to turn their phone off or put it on airplane mode, and they would allow that plane to take off if it was in jeopardy. So I get the sense, to be honest with you, that this is really about an opportunity for those that fly to avoid using their phone for the time that they're in the air, and the avoid having your neighbor next to you blabbing on the phone. I don't get a sense that this is really a danger factor. Now, I could be wrong, and somebody could point me in the right direction any time, and I'd be happy to talk about it. But I just can't get my hands on the fact that if we're flying in a plane and somebody turns their phone on flying in the face of the rule, that all of a sudden all those passengers are in jeopardy. We spend way too much time talking about being able to land and the exit seats and all that stuff. To have that ability for people to use their phone on their own, kind of on their honor, and expecting everybody to turn it off, I don't get that. So I don't believe there's any real safety issue here. And anybody who wants to show me the documents and the information and the data that challenges that, I'll be happy to disclose it. But I haven't found anything yet. So it all seems like this is a contrived opportunity to simply give people one place of solace, one small window of peace to avoid being bothered by somebody next to you who's blabbing on a phone, or to be bothered or avoid being bothered by your external world that's going to bother you. Somehow, some way, this becomes a bit of an opportunity to decompress for just a little while during the plane ride. So be interesting to see. We're in the middle of we're talking about phones and stuff like that, and one of the things that is happening now is GameCube games running on a Samsung phone. So take a look at the video by Guru Aid Tech Support showing a new Samsung Galaxy S8 running the Dolphin emulator for GameCube and Wii games almost flawlessly. So Dolphin has been available on Android for a while now, but mostly as an experimental development tool, not as a practical way to play games, mostly because performance was completely garbage. This year, on the kind of hardware last year's phones weren't quite there, it's really to play games. I mean, this isn't just footage of Mario, Sunshine, Wind Waker, and Smash Brothers running. They're running nice games, and while the on-screen buttons are a nightmare, it's a cinch to get a Nintendo controller working on an Android phone. So I'm sure loads of people would love to buy and play GameCube games on their new Switch consoles, but until Nintendo can actually make that happen, I guess loads of people will make do with stuff like this. So I saw it finally. I saw it just finally how phones now are going to have the ability to connect a keyboard and connect to a monitor. So finally, my prediction has come true. And I got to believe that the manufacturers of PCs have been holding this back for years. And that is that you're walking around with a computer in your pocket. Quite honestly, it runs faster than anything that I used to run back in the 90s and early 2000s. How hard is it to connect this to a laptop, a monitor, and a keyboard, and you simply walk around with all your data in your pocket? Why wouldn't you do that? And then we could just do away with the concept of quote-unquote laptops and PCs. It's so much smaller. You have all your data in one spot. You don't have to do syncing. Everything is in one place, and you can back up to the cloud, which I wouldn't do, but you can, and voila, you're done. So finally we're getting there, and now you're starting to see how the extraneous other products, Nintendo games, are starting to be used on there as well. So check that out. Last but not least, I want to give a shout-out to my brothers who work on COBOL. Ancient programming language COBOL can make you bank, literally. So this says that you'd think a computer programming language created in 1959 would be outdated, but you'd be incredibly wrong. Most people know Java, C++, but good old COBOL is still alive and kicking in the U.S. Around 80% of in-person transactions and 90% of ATM swipes are based on programs written in COBOL. Problem is, there's not enough people to maintain the current COBOL-based systems. So according to Reuters, around $3 trillion in daily commerce flow through COBOL programs. Many major financial corporations and some parts of the federal government have built their entire infrastructure on COBOL in the 70s and 80s. But if something goes wrong, we might be looking for a major platform shutdown, because however you could make money preventing that. So just an idea, if you are still looking to get back into programming, there's always the time to be a programmer on a certain language is when it first starts, and when it's starting to retire, when it's out of favor. That's when you're going to make the most money. So now it looks like COBOL, something that I learned over 35 years ago, is still running, and now you can actually make some serious money from it. And there's plenty of businesses in and around New York and New Jersey that are running it. So if you are into programming and into programming languages, perhaps COBOL might be the thing to do. So check it out. All right, it's time for me to get on it here. Something's About Money is on their way. It's been my pleasure to be with you as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and on Tech Today. Our mission here at Tech Today is to demystify technology and make sure that we can help you understand it, use it, and embrace it. That's the mission, and hopefully we've imparted some of that mission onto you. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great Tuesday in summer weather. And stay tuned for Some Things About Money up next on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to HuntingChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I hope that what the Russian government concludes is that they have aligned themselves with an unreliable partner in Bashar al-Assad.
America's top diplomats traveling abroad and issues a warning to the regime in Syria. Here's USA correspondent Joe Gomez.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's reign is coming to an end. But Tillerson told foreign ministers meeting in Italy today that the U.S. is not presupposing how Assad will leave. Tillerson made those remarks just a few hours before his scheduled arrival in Moscow, where he's due to meet with Russia's foreign minister.
Video of a man being dragged off a United Airlines flight so the airline could seat some crew members that needed transport is not just going viral here, but also in China, where people on social media claim he was targeted because he's Chinese. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. I mean, you know,